you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
Probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds, you're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. My name is Derek Peterson. I am happy to be joined this week by Hill Varsity's deputy editor, Aaron Sorensen. Aaron, hello, how are you?
I'm good. I like sniffed my nose like right as you were introing this podcast. So my apologies to anyone if you heard that. I just, good, perfect timing on my part is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah. Aaron, are you a big zombie TV show person? I ask this because a new show came out on HBO Max last Sunday that is an adaptation of a video game that like came about when The Walking Dead started and all. Maybe I have my timeline wrong and somebody's going to yell at me, but like my understanding is it came about when like The Walking Dead started and all of the like craze and obsession with zombie fiction storytelling like blew up. And so now we have this new show, and I have yet to watch the new show, but instead I restarted watching The Walking Dead, and now I'm like full in on zombie horror television. So you're not in that space.
I am not a zombie fan. I like zombie show or movie fan. I also just don't really like horror. Now I understand like zombie is not so much horror. It can be a little bit more action like sci-fi. So like I'm not saying, but like I tend to gravitate toward a lot more like comedy. And I guess like the action shows that we do watch is more like Breaking Bad. That kind, like, and even that sometimes can get intense, like Ozark and different things. But no, I haven't gotten into the zombie world yet.
I'm trying to find ways to sort of like scratch the TV itch of not having football to watch. And I'm really not into basketball yet this season, which is interesting because maybe it's like not being able to watch the Thunder. Because I don't have NBA League Pass this year, whereas I've had it in previous years. I just haven't really gotten into college basketball yet. Maybe it'll kick up like next month when we get closer to the start of conference tournament play. And I'm just like missing football. So I've been, you know, I've had the TV on just as background noise. I've rewatched Avatar: The Last Airbender like three times in the last month. And I'm just kind of like looking for something. But like this was a good week. If you have a football itch that needed to be scratched, this was a good week for Nebraska. So they have timeline wise, I mean, I guess it was expected, but Xavier Betts is back on the roster. We talked about him. Nebraska is basically turning into Georgia North. They have got two former five-star recruits and Georgia players to commit to Nebraska in the last week. One of them a tight end, one of them a edge rusher, linebacker, inside linebacker. I've got it up. He's a linebacker. I want to talk to you about both of those guys. But first, let's just start with like broad strokes. Nebraska's recruiting well under Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
Why?
So far, so good. Gosh, I mean, right now, I was just reading, so the latest issue of Hill Varsity will be hitting mailboxes very soon. It just went to print this week, and Mike Babcock's letter was talking about. Was it his letter or is it a column? Regardless, one of his two amazing things that he wrote for the latest issue. He was talking about how this is sort of like the time to be excited. This is the time for the hype and everything that comes with it. And to a degree, that's going to be a part of, you know, what is creating this excitement around Nebraska and what Matt Rhule is able to do with that. I think this is that time. There's no better time than right now than to build on that momentum and excitement that everyone has. Obviously, what we're also seeing, though, is the connections of this staff. Matt Rhule has a lot of connections across the country. He has not shied away from using them at this point, neither has his staff. They're out on the road recruiting about as heavily as they can be. And, you know, I think that he has shown what he can do at Temple and at Baylor. Obviously, like, he's somebody who builds. And so I think a lot of these players have seen that. They're excited about that, and they want to buy in now. And yeah, I think that's probably where we're seeing a lot of that right now. Is he is an experienced recruiter now. You know, obviously he's been in the NFL for a period of time, but that doesn't mean he's like forgotten how to do any of this. And clearly not, because he's making a pretty good sell for Nebraska. So I think it's kind of a combination of things. He's really taking advantage of the excitement right now around Nebraska, but then he also has a lot of connections. He knows where to look and who to go after.
I think he's tweeted more times in the last month than I have in the last year.
Same for him, though, too. Like, he has tweeted. So obviously in the NFL, they don't use social media like they do in college sports. A couple of the coaches have talked about that already. It's just like they don't use it the same way. So you go and look at his social media, like the ramp up of it. he's definitely very whether or not it's his like forte, he's definitely leaning into it.
Okay, so I have a tweet pulled up.
I need you to
translate this for me. We've got a plane emoji, a diamond emoji, a house emoji, the American flag, music, eyeballs, two faces, and a bus.
I have to go find it.
Flying to find diamonds, to bring them home in America while blasting tunes and using your eyeballs to look at people on a bus. Is that what's your translation of some of Matt Rhule's emoji tweets? I love them, by the way. They're incredible. We got a funny one that I'm going to talk to you about next, but like, translate this tweet for me.
This one was only made a little bit more clear because of the person who quote tweeted it. He was talking about going to see Will Compton and Bussin' with the Boys, which is the end part. So he was on the flight to look for, like, basically he was going to Nashville, which is like why you get the American flag and the music emojis, because that's the heart of country music is Nashville. So he was on a flight to like basically go to Nashville, and he was going to go see Bussin' with the Boys. Like I said, Will Compton quote tweeted him, that helped. But even since then, he's tweeted a couple of times wearing Bussin' with the Boys gear. So he got that one was a little bit easier because of the things that followed it up. Not all of them are that easy. But yeah, that one we got a little bit of help, the context with it. But I will say some of his staff have said that they don't always know what he's talking about. Everything is intentional. And I can share some of like the info that I put together. So my husband is a like Excel wizard, and he had to help, and he was getting so frustrated because Matt Rhule has used so many emojis once. Like, it's like 50 some emojis have only ever been used by him once in like a 2 month period. So he is like going deep in the emoji archives here. Like, he is not just like, oh, star, fire. Like, he's like, what's the most random?
He's scrolling emojis through. He's not sticking in the recents.
No. And he uses, like, the thing is like, he's used different hearts. So if people have never realized, there's two red hearts, and he's used one once, and people might be like, oh, well, that was a mistake. No, he's intentionally used the other red heart multiple times. So he's specifically chose that other one for some reason, that he needed that other red heart versus the original that he'd been using multiple times. So that's what I'm saying is like, everything's intentional, whether or not he quite knows what he's saying with them, he's picking them intentionally. Like there's a method in his mind to his madness, but I know you asked about this other one.
Well, and just before that, we're certain that this is Matt Rhule tweeting. Like he's like pulling out his phone, opening the Twitter app and tweeting, right? This is not like he's got an assistant and he's pawned social media off on the assistant.
Yeah, so we know that like he is doing this at this point. I did joke that maybe his daughters are helping him, but he from what I understand is doing this. Like I would be curious to know how much he runs his own Twitter account. Obviously, once you start to get into the season, I can't imagine. I'm sure he'll hand that off to his chief of staff, but especially because he hasn't had a full staff hired yet. He's really been kind of doing this on his own. And I think the reason we know this to be true, why it's him, is because he did say, when he goes out and sees recruits, they'll tell him, hey, will you tweet this? Will you share these emojis? And he does. And it's kind of like this, you know, wink, not like nudge between him and that individual. So he's doing this all intentionally. And sometimes it's coming from recruits who are asking him, hey, will you tweet that? And he's just like, yep, sure thing. So like, we know like Malachi Coleman had asked him to tweet a couple of things or at least one thing. And so he's very much in control right now. How much control he has, like I said, once like the actual season gets here and things get busier, maybe he'll pull out his phone here and there, but I'm guessing he won't be quite like, if he starts like tweeting emojis during a game, obviously that's not him, unless you look on the sideline and he's like
that would be
amazing.
That would be the only appropriate way to close out an era of absurdity in Nebraska football. Coach tweeting on the sideline. Yeah. Only way. Okay. I can't believe what I just eyeball emoji and then three bunny emojis. Some in the comments think that this is in reference to Malachi Coleman at the Polynesian Bowl, darn near beating who is believed to be the fastest recruit in the class in a 40. Some of the comments believe that maybe Matt Rhule was at a basketball game watching somebody who then later picked up a Nebraska offer. And then a lot of people are just like, this is recruiting related somewhere. Do you have a translation for the bunny emojis?
I think he's saying the person was speedy. Like, I do think that is what he was.
So that would be Malachi.
So Malachi makes the most sense to me, but I did see some people who were talking about maybe he's talking about like a recruit specifically, like you're saying that maybe he's talking about a speedy wide receiver that he saw, or
but also something hops. Like, hops makes sense. Maybe somebody dunked a couple times in a basketball.
Yeah,
two sport athlete. Hops makes sense.
I do think my gut reaction is if he would respond to it as I'm thinking he was watching the Polynesian Bowl and watching the, like, I think it was workouts or whatever it was. Like, that's what it makes the most sense, especially knowing the relationship that he has built with Malachi so quickly. So that would be my gut reaction. But then, like, if he, like, eventually is like, oh, yeah, I was watching some TikTok videos and they did a magic trick and it was unreal. Like, that also, I guess, wouldn't surprise me. I would be like, yeah, sure thing.
I love this. I love that we're talking about this. This is wonderful. And I feel
I told you this too, for anyone who's a subscriber to Hill Varsity, which you should be, the latest issue has a 2-page infographic, which our designer did a great job laying out, but my husband had to help kind of like collect, like take this data and like kind of do something with it. But it's entirely on his emoji use and like how kind of like chaotic it feels, but like when you start to break it down based on like what he uses the most versus what he doesn't, you start to see some trends. Like he really likes stars. Those are his like favorite emojis. It just kind of helps you start to get a sense for like, oh, he's looking for these intentionally. Like he's not just going in there and like going sure. He's like, yep, this is the one. Because the ones that kind of end up in his top 10, you're like, oh yeah, there's a method to this madness, even if we don't know what it all means.
I have an idea for you. Replace the crossword puzzle in
just with emoji
one guesses. Of the upcoming issues. get with Matt Rhule and create a cipher. So it's just a grid of emojis, and there is a message from Matt Rhule in this grid of emojis. And he gives you a couple of, you know, like this emoji equates to this letter, this emoji equates, and it's just a cipher that you have to solve. That replaces the crossword puzzle for a month. I feel like he would get on board with that.
He would. He's like, the thing is like, I can imagine with him that he is going to be, I've had this conversation with people a couple of times now since his hiring, where they've asked me for his opinion or my opinion on him. And I have no idea what is going to come or not come from him and what he's able to do on the field. And obviously that's going to be more important than any of this at the end of the day. But for right now, he's a really, really nice person who clearly wants to have fun with a lot of these things. Like, he's trying sincerely to make connections with people. When he said, I'm going to be out in the community, he meant that. He's out having dinner where people can see him with his family. He is very much like utilizing social media as much as he, and I think that there is something about, like, for instance, him tweeting a photo of his office and his nameplate, and there's a really like kind of funny note stuck to the side that says, this is the office. If you need to write a note on send to someone in the stadium, just ask one of his daughters, essentially. And he just takes a photo of it and tweets 7-year-olds rule. And like, I don't know, you kind of get this like understanding of like who he is. He's definitely opening up the like doors of like who he is a little bit for people to get to know him. And again, none of this matters at the end of the day when it comes to wins or losses. And so like, I get the people who are like, I don't want to spend time thinking about this, but football and any sport should be fun at the end of the day. And if you're not having fun, you shouldn't be doing it. You shouldn't be coaching. You shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't do any of that. And the fact that he's having a lot of fun right now, it's fun as a consumer of this to just observe and be around. So well, I do stan his daughter. So like, I hope that they take over the program.
he's engaging, and the success that they are having so far makes that engagement fun. Like, they're missing on all these people. You might get a handful of the enough with the emojis, win a recruiting battle tweets, but like, they're winning. They're piling up some wins. The first of which I want to start with Eric Gilbert, former 5-star tight end. He signed with LSU 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 2020 class. Spent a couple seasons at LSU, transfers to Georgia, wins a national championship with Georgia. Or spent one season at LSU, two seasons at Georgia, excuse me. Wins a national championship at Georgia. He plays behind Darnell Washington and Brock Bowers. So like,
no big deal.
He doesn't have really any production at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But you can pretty easily explain why he doesn't have any production at Georgia. This is always the, you know, the case with the transfer portal, is you get this highly recruited player who doesn't really have a ton of, we'll call them counting stats to his name. And you say, okay, well, has it been circumstance? Has it been him just maybe being a little bit overvalued on the recruiting trail, a little bit of a combination of both? I personally think with Eric Gilbert, he just hasn't had the opportunity. And I think with Nebraska, the chance to have a two tight end duo with Thomas Fedoni and Eric Gilbert is absolutely insane to think about. What were your initial thoughts whenever this commitment landed, whenever, you know, news broke that Nebraska is getting this former 5-star number one tight end in his respective class?
Well, I'll just sum it up. A friend of mine who's an LSU fan texted me almost immediately and was like, enjoy the Eric Gilbert show. So I think that pretty much sums it up of how even an LSU fan who watched him then transfer felt about it. But, you know, there are certain things that I think Nebraska fans are probably like salivating over right now. And like, it's things like hearing that they're going to run the ball, but like the tight end piece of it is really interesting.
Fullback,
bringing back the fullback. But I think, you know, tight ends are a big deal for Nebraska. Like, I don't know how many times you'd hear about, like, I mean, you saw what you think of, like what Austin Allen could have done, which is like a little bit different of a scheme, like just a little bit of a different but he was still very productive. But yeah, I'm really eager to see what their plan is for the tight ends. But like, clearly this is an area where like, they're not just going to use Eric Gilbert as a blocker. Like, I understand that that's like a big piece of like the no block, no rock type of like mentality for many teams. But like, you're building something here intentionally if you're looking for a guy like Eric Gilbert, and then you hope that someone like Thomas Fedoni can get fully healthy, and then that's a really interesting duo in that. But yeah, I mean, he needs the space to be able to play. Eric Gilbert, like you said, he didn't have kind of that space at Georgia. So imagine if like they're able to really kind of, I know they say they're going to run the ball, they will, but obviously you're going to need to throw a little bit to Eric Gilbert. It just will be like, I'm excited to see like what he can do with someone like Casey Thompson. I don't know, like, or I guess like Jeff Sims, but like, I still think the job is Casey Thompson's unless like he chooses it not to be essentially. So I don't know. I'm excited to see. This is the part of like when I talk about the excitement and sort of the unknowns and why everyone's kind of just like taking it for what it is right now, is there's just kind of a lot of also like unknown at this point where you like can sit there and be like, I'm excited to see what he can do. But that's the reality of it. We can guess what kind of offense they're going to run. We can guess what kind of defense they're going to run based on like what they have done in the past. But like, until we see it, we don't fully know what's going to transpire. So I'm excited to see what someone like Eric Gilbert can do.
The other guy that they added, MJ Sherman from Georgia, he's also a former, more five-star, depending on what like recruiting service you look at. I think he was a five-star with just 247, 247 composite, which is the industry generated. He's a four-star, mm-hmm. but he's a top 50 prospect. Very, very good recruit. Yes. Highly sought-after player coming out of high school. Goes to Georgia, spends 3 years with the Bulldogs, wins two national championships, which is incredible. He only had 15 career tackles, though, in 39 appearances. I've got him tabbed as an edge rusher, and this was a position of need for Nebraska because you lose Caleb Tanner, you lose Garrett Nelson, and you lose O'Shawn Mathis. Mm-hmm. So, like, they have taken big swings in the transfer portal, and aside from whatever happened with Oklahoma at the last minute, they've largely hit on those swings.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
No, I do want to just say really quick, when the Sherman stuff happened, I saw some people who were tweeting about M. Sherman, and I was like, what did Mitch Sherman do? The Nebraska athletic writer for The Athletic, if anyone is unfamiliar, I'm sure you all are. I don't need to tell you who Mitch Sherman is, but I'm like, what did Mitch Sherman do? Not the M. Sherman that we're talking about here, MJ Sherman. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of like, so obviously, like you said, this is an area of need for Nebraska. We know that right off the bat. So if you're someone like him who's looking for a spot to potentially walk in, be a starter from day one, make an immediate impact, Nebraska is a place for that. Like that is right off the bat. Now, having talked to Tony White, we know that like he is not married to a 3-3-5. Like obviously he was very clear that's like his defense, but he'll do whatever to win. It doesn't matter. I think that, you know, we have to ask these questions. Like, are you planning on running a 3-3-5? Because like, that's just the questions you ask in those like getting to know you scenarios. But often like once the question has been asked, it really doesn't need to be asked again at this point, because yeah, Eric Schneider typically ran a 3-4 defense, but every so often they would be in a different front. Like, actually, they were more often in a different front, I should say, especially through the years with them. But like for someone like Sherman, when you think of like what like a 3-3-5 could be for him, you need to be athletic. You need to be three three fives. Like, I love this. I just wanted to like throw this out there. The way that it is in like summed up is a high risk, high reward type of defense. That is just like, if you're going to sum it up, that is what it is. And it you need athleticism, and he's an athletic guy. So when you're losing people like a Caleb Tanner, a Garrett Nelson, O'Shawn Mathis, and you're looking to replace that, regardless of what front you run, you're going to need athletic guys, whether it's your linemen, your linebackers, whatever, that front is going to have to be very, very athletic. And yeah, I think he fits that bill. So I think if you're him and you're looking at like the style of defense that Tony White typically runs, and you're kind of looking at like, well, I want to play right away, Nebraska seems to kind of check the boxes for him right off the bat. Again, this is just face value. We won't know exactly what Tony White runs until Tony White gets into Big Ten play. But like at the same time, seems like a good fit overall.
Well, what in your estimation, what was the most impactful get of the last like week and a half? Eric Gilbert committing, 6'5", versatile tight end that can do a bunch of different things. MJ Sherman, former 5-star edge rusher at a position of need. We're getting Xavier Betts back to the program.
Xavier is a big deal. I'll come back to Xavier in a second. I think from a area of need, I think MJ Sherman is the biggest get. I think that is an area like they needed him. So that's fantastic. And I'm not saying that Xavier is not needed. They definitely need wide receivers. But what we know about Xavier to date is that he is somebody who wants to be known for more than just being a football player. He likes football, but he is not like, football is not everything to him. And there is nothing wrong with that. I think, you know, he is somebody who was very open about his own mental health journey and just his own like adjustments to college. It's a big change, and he had a lot of change. And I think having Matt Rhule get him back in the fold for Nebraska, in my opinion, it doesn't matter if Xavier Betts ever plays a snap for Nebraska at this point. If they can bring him into an environment where he feels supported and he is around people that want the best for him and see the best in him, then it's a win no matter what, because that is a good teammate regardless of how much playing time that they have. Like, he can be a huge asset to this team regardless of his production on the field. And I understand that there are people who are going to disagree with me and they're going to go, oh, he better, you know, play. And yes, they need wide receivers, so that's a big deal too. But I think that Matt Rhule getting him back in the fold is more of a testament to who Matt Rhule is and his coaches and who they are and what their intentions are for Xavier. Because again, Xavier is somebody who's always been about, he is not just a football player. He is more than that. He has other things that he's interested in, other things that matter to him. And I think especially as we've watched certain football players, whether it's at Nebraska or beyond, and not just football, any sport, as we hear people talk more and more about their mental health and their just, I think of, to switch to volleyball for a second, I think of Whitney Lonstein, who just, you know, made the decision to step away from Nebraska volleyball for her own mental health and for her own reasonings, because she just kind of felt like she couldn't give everything she had to it. We need to be mindful that these athletes at the end of the day are still people. And so I think, again, for me, Xavier is a big deal in the sense of like what that means as far as the relationship building with Rhule and who, like, in this team. But as far as like, if we're going to talk about impact player, I think MJ Sherman is probably that person based on where he's at. But Xavier is also a big deal for, like I said, almost an entirely different reason.
Well, and I mean, we've seen him make an impact in a Nebraska uniform. We've seen him look like a possible star wideout in the Big Ten in a Nebraska uniform. And I guess, you know, I don't know how much you can or can't speak to sort of how this situation came to be, but like, the thing that I have kind of been thinking about is like, you obviously, you know, when you're in a position like the one Matt Rhule was in, when you're a head coach of a football team, obviously like your bottom line is you need to win football games. And so you need to do what's best for you to be able to reach that goal. But you also sort of take on a moral obligation with bringing kids from all over the country away from homes to your program to take care of those kids in whatever way that entails. And so obviously when you have a player like Xavier Betts, like you want to do what's right by that player and you want to take care of that person. I also wonder, like, in situations like this with coaches, is there ever a thought that creeps into their head where they say, or it maybe that they have to like sit and really think about this and say, like, this player, if we know like he is willing to step away from football, does that change the way that we are able to sort of like structure our offense? Like, does that change the way, or should that change the way we sort of prioritize him in the order? Because if hypothetically, if you take a player and you make that player a focal point of your offense or somebody that you're really going to rely upon, and you have to run the risk of potentially not having that player just sort of abruptly, that puts you in stress and that can change some things. And so maybe as a coach, I would imagine there are a handful of coaches out there who would say, well, I don't feel like I can rely on this player as much as I can rely on this guy who maybe isn't as good. So this guy's going to be my number one. And then whatever we get from this guy is gravy. I don't necessarily think that Matt Rhule would do that, but I do think that that's an interesting discussion worth having from a purely football standpoint, is like, what should expectations be for Xavier Betts? Is he going to be a player that just immediately steps right in and has a starting role and is relied upon and is like a top targeted option in this pass game? Or do they kind of maybe like ease him into things just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, just to make sure that they're building in the right way? I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to like belittle or devalue sort of the personal yes. side of it, but there is a football conversation that has to be had there that's uncomfortable.
There is, but I would say this is why, and there are some people out there who really don't like that this is how it is, but it just is sports have changed. For the people who want like to go back in my day, it was tough as nails and this and that and this, like that is not how it is anymore. Like, that's not to say that none of these young men and women on all of these teams are not tough as nails. That's not it at all. And it's not saying that they won't give their blood, sweat and tears and everything else for a team. But there is a different level of expectation with how coaches can coach. And you can't just be an asshole to be an asshole anymore. Like, you have to, like,
the well-being. Did you see the Tim Brewster clip in the Colorado meeting room that went viral on social media?
And the interesting thing was, as I watched the reaction to that, I saw a couple of people. So Josh Mitchell, who was a former Nebraska, who played for Nebraska, he tweeted about it and was just like, this is like, he basically was saying like, this is so goofy. Like,
there's, I thought only he had the best comment on the whole thing. Yeah.
He basically said like, yeah, there's like a handful that get like really excited by this stuff, but most of them, the bonding happens when they go to the locker room and they're all making fun of it essentially. Yeah. And that's the thing that okay. I'm going to take Marquise Buford. He was dancing after Nebraska's win over Rutgers last fall. And at the time, I hadn't shared the video on TikTok or anywhere because, like, I think I shared it on Twitter, but like, I just kind of held on to it. And I just recently shared it on TikTok and someone was like, why are they doing this? And another person thankfully came along and was like, because sports are fun. Like, because you should be allowed to have fun. And I think that that is like something that is like happening where people are kind of grasping with this, where it's like, just because you dance or just because you have a good time or you don't care about football 24/7 doesn't mean you don't care about football. And so I think what you're bringing up is a good conversation to have. And it is one that like Matt Rhule and coaches all across the country are going to have to grapple with, of like, how do you balance the personal side of things also with the football side? So you have this situation with Xavier where like you want the best for him. You want his well-being to be cared for first and foremost, but you also need to be able to rely on whomever is going to step into that role. And I think that like the biggest thing that you have to do is just keep open lines of communication. And I think that that is something in my limited time getting to know him, but from also hearing other people, that is really important to Matt Rhule, is communication. So if you are going to rely on Xavier Betts, you're not going to him and being like, Xavier, here's the deal. I need to trust you. Are you going to say, like, you're not doing that. You're sitting down and having meetings with him where you talk about his role in the team, what the expectations are, where you see him fitting. And does he see the same thing for himself? And if he says, yes, this is what I expect, then you have that conversation every week where you're like, hey, how are you still feeling today? You need to have open, consistent communication between coaches and their players. You can't just expect them to just like be a one conversation and done scenario where you're like, well, he said he was in or he wasn't in. Like, and I understand a head coach can't be having that conversation with every single player on their team when you have rosters of 150 people, but that's where you put the expectation in your position coaches to also be the eyes and ears and experts and know how to handle their rooms. And that's why with everybody who was talking about Nebraska's new wide receivers coach being as young as he is, like, you have people who are like, well, how's he gonna, he probably is going to be able to relate better to most of these players than anyone else, and probably having most recently played himself, probably has a deeper understanding of what they're going through and what they're feeling in that moment. And that's not to say like anybody who's over a certain age doesn't, but again, the way that coaching has evolved and changed, that is what it has evolved and changed. And that does upset some people. There's nothing I can do to like fix that in somebody's perspective. If you don't like that, you don't like that, but it is the way it is. And coaches are having to adapt. So all of that to say, when it comes to Xavier, I think, you know, if he is the guy, he's practicing incredibly well. He's putting himself in the position to be your number one guy. You rely on him, but you better keep those lines of communication open and make sure that you're both on the same page. I think that's the most important thing. And I think then, like, that's just a relationship built on trust between both parties. When you can sit down and say, I'm putting all of this trust in you because we see that potential, but I also want to keep checking in with you. That's just being a good human being too.
That was a wonderful way to answer a question that probably could have been phrased better. I just want to be clear.
I get what you're saying.
I don't want to come off like saying that Xavier Betts is not reliable for taking time to prioritize himself. This is not like a Kyrie Irving situation. Like I still think he's a reliable player, but it's also, you know, that's like a thought that has to be sort of discussed amongst the coaching staff. It's just like, you know, I think there's a balance right now. It's like that old saying, to whom much is given, much is expected. Mm-hmm. Like there's a little bit of that balance. And I think we're sort of trying to, when I say we, I think like college football landscape is still sort of trying to find that balance.
Yeah. And I don't think like, I think what you're asking, I don't think you're saying at all that he's unreliable. It's just more or less like, I think for somebody who's a coach, your job at the end of the day is to win games, and you have to set yourself up and your team up in the best way possible to make that goal, to accomplish that goal. And so you need to make sure that all cylinders are firing together. And so if you have someone, and it might not even be Xavier, it could be anyone, if they're having a time where they're struggling or things aren't, you need to know that, because you need to be able to, you don't want to put somebody out in a field who's not ready to be there for whatever reason. And I think of the Iowa basketball player that just stepped away for his own mental health. Like if he returns, I don't think anyone's going to be like, you know, but it's not so much the conversation of, and this is why I'm saying, I don't think you're calling Xavier unreliable. It's not that anyone's going, you're unreliable. It's that people are saying, we want to make sure that you are in the best place, not just for the team and to win, even though that is the goal, but because it's not fair to you either as an individual. If you're not 100% into it, if your heart's not there right now, or if you need time, we need to make sure that we're on the same page. And I think that's where coaching is going, is being able to step back and be like, I got to keep these lines of communication open. I can't just sit there and be like, if you're not in, you're out, because, you know, we're starting to really dive into the psychology of sports and the psychology of the individuals more than just being entertainment machines on a field or on a court. It's a, we need to care for the person just as much as the sport. Now, the goal of the sport is to win, but you still aren't going to get there if your athletes are not taken care of. So it's all this like harmonious thing. So again, for the people who don't like that, I don't know what to tell you. It's just more or less like, if accomplished well, it will do the thing that you want, which is win. And at the end of the day, that's what most people care about. So
I always laugh at the, if you're not in, you're out comments, because they just read to me like an ultimatum, and nowhere, anywhere, and like any setting do ultimatums typically work.
Not usually.
when it comes to like partnerships, relationships between people, they just don't typically work. So that's always been funny to me. What's coming, Aaron? You've kind of like teased the magazine a little bit. Do a little bit more. What's coming in the magazine?
What am I getting? Well, so this issue is pretty, like, for people who want to know more about Rule, Brady Altman's has a great story on kind of his path, like where he's been and where he's going, and kind of looping that in with all of the people he's brought with him. It's really great. And obviously, there's deeper dives into Matt Rule and kind of what to expect at this point in time, knowing that we don't know everything. There's only so much we do know. So there's a lot about Matt Rule and this coaching staff and this issue. So if you're somebody who wants to dive more into just like, what can I expect? What is available, you know, to me, knowledge wise on this staff, like this issue really dives into that. And then of course, as always, there's basketball notebooks. So you'll get a little bit on the women's and the men's team, wrestling, because, you know, wrestling photos, because Nebraska's wrestling team is fantastic. In fact, for anyone, depending on when you're listening to this, I really encourage you to keep up with the wrestling team. What Mark Manning and that team is doing is always outstanding. But they're very, very good. So, you know, we try to cover it all in the magazine, but I understand football kind of is the big thing right now because of the new coaching staff. So don't worry, that's all very much there, but you'll get a little bit of everything else too. I even in Hot Reads wrote about Georgia joining the back-to-back national champion club, which is really fascinating because if they end up somehow getting back to the national championship in 2020 for the 2024 national championship game, what would, if they somehow win that, they would be the first to win a three-peat since Minnesota in like the 30s, I think. That's why when Nebraska got so close in the 90s, that was such an even bigger deal because of like what that would have meant. So it'll be interesting to see if Georgia can pull that off. So there's always like a ton of like interesting stuff in the magazine that just kind of dives into the sports you love, but then even just a little bit more.
Sorry, I just rolled my eyes for people that are watching this on YouTube. I just got sent a tweet that apparently Jaden Rashada is visiting Colorado.
That's fine. Okay. I always laugh at the people who are watching, not laugh at, laugh for the people who are watching on YouTube, because like and you could diagnose this a million different ways. So please don't, like, it's my doctor would need to diagnose me, but like, I probably have some level of like ADHD because I can't focus on one thing at a time. So I'm like, anyone who's watching me on YouTube, I'm like looking at my phone, I'm doing this, I'm looking here, because I just can't ever, like, my brain can't focus on like one thing at a time. So I'm probably always like watching, same. Like people probably don't realize, like my eyes are watching like cars driving by on the street.
Well, you're setting yourself up for failure if you're sitting right in front of a window where you can be openly distracted and people watch.
Well, but this window is perfect because I can see a whole bunch of my street. So it's very entertaining because depending on what's going on, I always have the neighborhood, the latest on the neighborhood gossip.
This Rashada recruitment is a mess. Has been a mess. I allowed to say that I'm very excited for Deion Sanders at Colorado? Like, is that okay?
You might upset some Nebraska fans.
I'm not necessarily excited for like Colorado to be super cool, but like Deion Sanders is awesome. Did you see the video that he tweeted? We're recording this on a Friday. The video that he tweeted Thursday night after they flipped Cormani McClain, he's basically dancing in front of a window. Like it was amazing. It was incredible.
Here's the thing that I will say about someone like Deion Sanders. And like, I just want to say, like, I need people to like, this is important because like, don't believe that I'm comparing these individuals, like they're not the same people. But like when people talked about like what Mike Leach did for football and how he was so entertaining and how he was just so interesting and he kind of like allowed for like a, you know, different points of view and perspectives, and he was just very funny. I really enjoy people who clearly enjoy what they do. Like I think that that is beneficial for the sport, for any sport as a whole, when you have coaches and players who so clearly very much love what they do. And you may not like the individual, or you may not feel strongly about the individual, but it's hard not, at least for me, to look at someone like Deion Sanders and go, you know, it's clear he loves coaching football and he loves doing this and loves being around it. And that will, at the end of the day, be good for the sport, regardless of your personal feelings on him. I have no qualms with people who clearly enjoy their jobs. So that is my takeaway with him, is that it is not a bad thing that he loves his job.
No, I was watching him. He did a TV spot with a CBS talk show, and he said he wanted to become the first Black head coach to win a college football national championship. Can we get Deion Sanders to do that? Just not Colorado to do that? Like, that's where I'm at. Like, can we get that to happen? Just not Colorado.
Although,
that's what I'm hoping for.
It is so fun to kind of watch certain programs kind of, and we don't know. We have no idea what will or will not be with Colorado, but like kind of how some people talk about like how it would, you know, Nebraska being good makes the sport more fun. So can Nebraska please be good again? Like, there is something about, you know, Nebraska getting ready to travel to Colorado in 2023 and already feeling that animosity where I'm like, oh, this just takes you back to the Big 12, the old days of the Big 12. So fun. It, you know, and it is like, that's the kind of stuff where I'm just like, you know, for what it's worth, it'll just be a good time. And do we want to see Deion Sanders take, you know, Colorado to a national championship? Probably not a lot of people are like signing up for that, but it would be hard. Like, it would be very entertaining to see him do it though, because people would be very, like the amount of people who'd be very mad about it, it would be something, mostly because
So here's a question for people listening. Deion Sanders takes Colorado to a national championship where he faces Alabama and Nick Saban. Who the hell do you root for in that game? Who do you root for in that game?
Well, and that's like what's so interesting. And like, actually, I'm really like, okay, so we could end up on this whole thing, but this is what I think about when I think of someone like Matt Rhule, the way that he's approaching things from his Twitter account and the way he goes about things and just trying to be more personable. And like, is the way that like coaches, newer coaches in this sport have changed and will continue to change how people do their jobs. Nick Saban has always kind of like, they do that like feature every year on ESPN where they like show you, he takes the new recruits or the new incoming players, excuse me, to his lake house, and they drive the boat and they do all of that stuff. And it's so much fun. It's how he gets to know the players and stuff. But like Nick Saban still also has a lot of like kind of old school viewpoints where he's like not super into the NIL stuff. He's not, you know, super into social media. He kind of like but like depending on how much longer Nick Saban coaches, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't start to see some of that change, probably less because of him but more because of the people around him, to try to meet kind of in the middle with some of these newer viewpoints. Because if you saw like a Deion versus a Nick Saban, a Deion Sanders versus a Nick Saban scenario, the way that the two of them approach coaching is different, and that's fine. Everybody coaches differently. But just even the way that they like present themselves in public are very different. So like that would be interesting to see, like, does Nick Saban become a little bit more loose? Kind of like his Aflac commercial loose? Like, does he be so yeah, it would be wild.
No, I kind of feel like Nick Saban is just going to retire before that happens. What he's hoping for is Bill O'Brien leaves to take the Patriots job, and then he can replace both of his coordinators, and then he can sort of like work around his oldness by hiring some younger coordinators that are like more interested in doing some of that stuff, and then he can pawn those responsibilities off on them and just worry about coaching the football team. Not responsibilities, but like they can do that and handle the new age stuff, and Nick Saban can just continue to coach football. That would be
that's kind of my guess
for how he handles it.
I think he will always kind of be who he is, but I wouldn't be surprised if the people around him don't kind of be like, hey, we're gonna kind of do some stuff over here. Just don't worry about it. Don't check your Twitter account. He doesn't still have a Twitter account, does he? At some point somebody's gotta
pull that man on
Twitter if he's not already. I'm Googling it.
He definitely would not run his own Twitter account. That definitely would be an assistant running his Twitter account.
Oh, for 100%. Sure.
100%.
Yeah, no, somebody needs to, because like everything that is out there is like fake fan accounts and stuff. So at the very least, just like somebody lock that down. So like, and if he has one and I just can't find it by Googling, so be it.
He has a private Twitter account that isn't verified that you have to request to follow and is only like
that'd be amazing.
200 people.
No family you know member. Everybody's he's recruiting entirely because it's the only people he's following. But no one can get accepted to like follow him, so you would never know.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, I'll let you go. Thank you for coming on the podcast. It was this was a fun conversation. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Keep reading HailVarsity.com, guys. Go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Use the promo code Varsity. Make sure you get yourself hooked up so that you don't miss another magazine, so that you can read all of the premium stuff on the website, so you can just keep track of everything. I was looking at the main page. There's volleyball. There's some basketball. There's some women's basketball on there. So it's not just football going on right now, so you can keep tabs on all things Huskers. Yeah. Shouts to you guys for listening to this every week. Shouts to Cam for producing this episode every week, and to Aaron for being on. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
A Huda Media Production.